There has been a video emerge, believed to be the gunman who live streamed this horrendous attack
Facebook.
Though, that's
the attack
full
was designed
hatred.
To get maximum coverage. Sorry, yeah. Teased
and
on
it's believed
Twitter.
That he is the one who live streamed himself opening fire.
New Zealand mosque shootings live streamed a video of the attack for 17 minutes. It was streaming.
Enabled
and
by and tailored for.
He posted these pictures of magazines for automatic weapons on his website 3 days ago. With the names of right-wing terrorists.
Welcome to the Countercurrents podcast series. I'm Martin Cocker, founder of the Online Safety Exchange and host of the OSX Network for Online Safety Practitioners. In March 2019, I was the CEO of NetSafe Aotearoa, New Zealand's primary online support service, and like many in the online safety field at that time, extremism and terrorism weren't front of mind for me. That is, until the afternoon of March 15th. Information about the online aspects of the Christchurch terror attacks flowed in very quickly. There was a live stream, and there was a manifesto. A video from the live stream began circulating widely on social media. The phones ran hot, and safety teams, government agencies, law enforcement, and NGOs scrambled to respond. But there was no playbook and no response plan, and truthfully, it was chaotic. Every available resource was mobilised and every safety lever that could be pulled was pulled, but by the end of the day it was clear that the systems designed to prevent the distribution of this sort of harmful content online had failed. In the aftermath, I committed to deepening my understanding of how information technology is exploited to promote extremism, recruit followers and radicalise people towards violence. We know that the Christchurch attacker engaged with extremist content online and his radicalization journey was energized by that content. And we know that he contributed to those communities and posted of his intent to commit violence. A Royal Commission of Inquiry into the attacks analyzed what New Zealand's state sector agencies knew, did, and could have done to prevent the attacks, which can be found at christchurchattack.royalcommission.nz. The focus of this podcast series is the online aspects of violent extremism and terrorism and the currents of radicalization that flow through the internet. These are the currents that push the Christchurch attacker towards violence and that his livestream and manifesto have further energised. They look at the efforts and opportunities to counter those currents and how we can make it significantly harder for these groups to exploit technology, harder to recruit, harder to radicalise and harder to promote acts of violence. This episode, Except by Chance, is the fourth of four. In it we investigate the warning signs of radicalisation and what people can do when they spot them. Episode 1, Unprecedented, examined the online aspects of the Christchurch terror attacks, looking at the safety systems that were in place and some significant changes made since that tragic day. Episode 2, Mobilised, explored how technology is exploited by extremists and the responses to these challenges. In Episode 3, Balancing Act, we looked at how to preserve essential freedoms whilst combating extremism online. Before we begin this episode, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the 51 Shuhada, their families, the survivors and the witnesses of the Christchurch terror attacks, and indeed to acknowledge the victims of extremism and terrorism across the world. Whilst it's important that we analyse and learn from these events, I recognise that for many, these discussions represent lived experiences, not theoretical scenarios. Paragraph 34 of the Executive Summary of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into the Terrorist Attack in Christchurch summarised the findings of the Commission as to whether the planning and preparation for the attack should have been detected. It concluded that there was no plausible way he could have been detected except by chance. This episode is focused on increasing knowledge of behaviours and activities that indicate a person is radicalising or on a path to violence, and increasing the chance that somebody will be successfully intercepted on that path. It draws heavily on the New Zealand Security Intelligence Service's guide, Know the Signs, but with a particular focus on online activities. It's important to note that individual behaviours or comments rarely indicate radicalisation on their own. Someone expressing strong political views, feeling angry about social issues, or exploring new ideologies can be part of a normal development and healthy engagement with the world. What's more concerning is patterns of behaviour and combinations of warning signs developing over time. That is why people in close or ongoing contact with somebody, such as family members, teachers, youth workers, sports coaches, religious leaders, or workplace mentors, are often best positioned to notice concerning changes. They can observe shifts in behaviour over time, increasing isolation from previous friend groups, growing hostility towards particular communities, sudden changes in interest or online activities, or escalating anger about specific issues. They might notice someone gradually withdrawing from previous activities whilst forming intense new relationships, or see a casual interest in extremist content evolving into deeper engagement with radical ideologies. Even for online-only relationships, concerning patterns can become apparent to those who spend significant time together in digital spaces. Gaming teammates who share hours in voice chat, moderators of small online communities who track posting patterns, and active members of Discord servers or streaming communities can all develop meaningful enough connections to notice worrying changes in someone's behavior, attitudes, or social dynamics. While these digital observers might feel hesitant to report concerns because online relationships can feel less real, their insights can be valuable early warning signs, particularly as they often witness interactions that might not be visible to family or friends in the physical world. These observers might also pick up on subtle changes in language, attitudes, or social connections that wouldn't be apparent to someone with only occasional contact. They're more likely to notice when someone who was previously open-minded begins expressing increasingly rigid or absolutist views, or when someone starts justifying violence in ways that seem out of character. This comprehensive view of someone's behavior patterns and personality changes is much more valuable than any single indicator in identifying potential radicalization. In this episode, we'll take a look at the motivations and the indicators somebody might be on a radicalization path. But first, it's important to note that many places do not have specialist de-radicalization services, which leaves a person that discovers another person on a radicalization path with two very different options, and if they know that person well, will leave them with a difficult choice. Should they attempt to intervene themselves, or should they report that person? If there are signs a person may be planning violence, actively encouraging others towards violence, or sharing or creating explicit terrorist content, they should be reported to law enforcement.
It's a scary thing if your friend or your family member is engaging with some content that you might be a little bit skeptical of, or they might be saying some really problematic things. But I think it's really important for them and for all of us if you report it to the authorities. You can report it to the New Zealand Police or the New Zealand Security Intelligence Service, who have some really good processes for handling these reports.
That's Angus Lindsay, Lead Advisor for Violent Extremism in the Digital Safety Unit at the New Zealand Department of Internal Affairs.
Indicators I'm sort of mentioning might be advocating violence for a political or ideological cause, showing a real obsession with violent extremist content online, or just like becoming increasingly isolated and hostile towards certain groups. I think on the one hand, it's like, well, I don't want to report my mate because he might get arrested. I think that's a misconception. I think reporting these individuals early can really help prevent them from progressing further into radicalization and potentially help them to access wraparound support or to off-ramp them to disengage from these more extremist beliefs.
If a person is clearly earlier in the radicalization journey and assuming there is a relationship that allows it, it may be possible to have a conversation that guides them onto a different path. People that attempt this approach should focus on listening and understanding rather than confronting or debating, express care for their well-being rather than criticizing their views, look for signs of what might be driving their behavior, such as isolation, grievances, and personal struggles, encourage them to maintain their existing social connection and activities, and help them connect with counseling or support services.
It is important to support your friends and family or the people you know through this, right? Like, don't be scared to have some like real conversations with them, to challenge them on their beliefs, respectfully, of course, and maybe counter and question some of those extreme ideas or narratives that they might discuss in a bit of a non-judgmental and non-alienating way, right? Like, it's important because I think we've all had at some point in our lives beliefs or ideas that may be not entirely rooted in kind of reality or are harmful to others. And we shouldn't judge or ostracize people for their beliefs, but we should just be sort of cognizant that, you know, maybe this person is going through a bit of a tough time and maybe they do need some extra help.
It's important to understand that extremist communities and ideologies are deliberately engineered to be compelling and psychologically powerful. They often provide seemingly simple answers to complex problems, offer a sense of belonging, and can fulfill deep emotional needs. Many extremist groups actively prepare their members to resist or dismiss concerns from family and friends, even coaching them on how to counter intervention attempts. They create sophisticated narratives that frame outside concern as proof of their ideology's correctness, making casual interventions potentially counterproductive. While reporting someone close to you to authorities is an emotionally challenging step, it may be the only safe and effective path forward. Aside from reporting individuals, anybody can, and everybody should, report extremist content they find online. This can be done directly to the platforms or to local authorities. In New Zealand, that content is reported to the Department of Internal Affairs.
One thing people can do is referring suspected terrorist and violent extremist content that they see online to us, to DIA. If you come across this type of content, or if you come across some content that you're a little bit unsure of, report it to us. We've got an easy form on our DIA website, and if we can investigate it and seek to remove that material if that material violates New Zealand law. So if you're unsure, just flick it through to us and we'll deal with it.
So what are the things that motivate a person to extremism? The NZSIS framework identifies four key types of violent extremist motivations: political, faith, identity, and single issue. Politically motivated violent extremism is promoting the use of violence to achieve change to or within an existing political system. It'll look like intense engagement with political conspiracy theories, calls for violent overthrow of political systems, targeting of political figures or institutions online, and the creation and sharing of content that justifies political violence. Faith-motivated violent extremism promotes the use of violence to advance one's own spiritual or religious objectives, and that might mean distortion of religious texts to justify violence, digital recruitment targeting vulnerable individuals through religious messaging, creation of closed online communities focused on extreme interpretations, and the use of religious imagery and symbolism to promote violent actions. Identity-motivated violent extremism promotes the use of violence to advance one's own perception of identity and/or denigrate others' perceived identities. That includes things like creation and sharing of content promoting identity-based supremacy, online harassment campaigns targeting specific identity groups, use of coded language and symbols to identify with extremist movements, and digital communities built around identity-based grievances. Single-issue motivated violent extremism promotes the use of violence to achieve a desired outcome to a specific issue, which may be, but doesn't have to be, drawn from within those other motivation groups. It will manifest as things like obsessive online focus on a specific cause, escalating rhetoric about the need for immediate action, targeting of individuals and organizations related to the issue, and the creation of content justifying violence for that particular cause. Understanding these motivations helps us to better interpret the indicators we're about to discuss. It's important to note that these categories often overlap in online spaces, and individuals might draw from multiple motivations and ideologies. In fact, there are now a number of mixed ideologies, even incorporating conflicting ideas from multiple different movements or groups, as explained by Angus Lindsay.
So for sure, a trend is that unclear and mixed, unstable ideological category where individuals are not subscribing to a coherent ideology. It makes it quite hard for us to kind of understand what we're working with, right? So on the one hand, they could be engaging with right-wing extremist, accelerationist, kind of, you know, Christchurch type content, but on the other hand, they might be using and engaging with a bunch of Islamic jihadist propaganda and sort of mixing that in their writings, and it's quite unclear about what this person believes.
The New Zealand Security Intelligence Service guide Know the Signs sets out seven different indicators of violent extremism. It is based on behaviours and activities of people that have been investigated for violent extremism or committed a terrorist attack. And it is comprehensive, but it comes with the caveat that there is no single checklist for radicalization that can be applied safely to all people in all circumstances. Notwithstanding that caveat, there are things to look out for. There are signs that indicate somebody might be on a radicalization journey. The first indicator is mindset and ideology. In online spaces, concerning mindsets and ideologies might manifest differently than they do in person. Here's some things to look out for. Instead of just consuming violent extremist content, individuals might create or curate collections of such content, even across multiple platforms. This is particularly concerning when that content becomes increasingly extreme over time. Watch for profiles that increasingly incorporate extremist symbols, even hiding them within seemingly innocent memes or artwork. This gradual shift in digital identity often reflects a parallel shift in ideology. Users might systematically block or remove anyone who challenges their views, creating an increasingly isolated digital environment. The self-imposed isolation can accelerate radicalization. Pay attention to how language evolves in posts and comments, particularly if it shows increasing dehumanization of specific groups. This often starts subtly, but becomes more overt over time. The danger here lies in the way digital spaces can accelerate ideological extremism through constant reinforcement and the ability to find like-minded individuals easily. The second indicator is associations and relationships. We know online relationships can be just as significant as physical ones, and sometimes more intense due to the constant connection digital spaces can provide. Things to look for here include users moving from mainstream platforms to more encrypted or extremist-friendly spaces, especially if that is presented as a way to avoid moderation. Systematic attempts to connect with known extremist figures through multiple platforms. Community building by creating or moderating spaces that gradually introduce more extreme content. Developing a cross-platform presence and/or maintaining multiple accounts to spread ideology and connect with like-minded individuals. These associations and relationships can provide the support structure and validation that reinforces extremist beliefs. Indicator number three is research and planning. These are behaviors or activities that may indicate somebody is planning to engage in terrorist or violent extremist activity. In the online world, this might look like collecting and organizing information about potential targets through social media and other online sources. It might include creating databases or archives of information about specific individuals or locations. Using Street View, digital maps, and social media check-ins to study locations. Researching methods to avoid detection online, including VPN services and encryption tools. Studying the online presence and routines of potential targets. This might include monitoring social media posts to understand schedules and behaviors. The digital age has made this type of research easier and less conspicuous. It allows for detailed planning without a physical presence, and it's crucial to recognize these patterns early. Gathering knowledge, skills, and resources is indicator number four. These are the behaviors or activities that may indicate someone is gathering the knowledge, skills, and resources to engage in terrorist or violent extremist activity. And some online activities that might fall within this category are searching for and collecting tutorials and instructional material on things like weapons and explosives. Unusual patterns in cryptocurrency transactions or a sudden interest in anonymous payment methods that could indicate attempts to gather resources without detection. Establishing a dark web presence and capability, participating in online forums or communities focused on weapons, tactical training, and explosives. Indicator number five is preparation, described as behaviors or activities that may indicate someone is in the final stages of preparing to conduct a terrorist or violent extremist act. This stage represents a crucial transition point where online activities begin to directly support potential offline actions. These are things like creating manifestos or pre-recorded messages. They will often draw from and reference previous extremist content. It might mean setting up automated posts or messages to be released at specific times, even if that's just as simple as scheduling social media posts or emails. It may mean establishing connections with potential sympathizers who might amplify messages and involve creating backup accounts and alternative communication channels. And it may involve probing different platforms' content moderation policies to understand how to avoid detection, or testing what content triggers those automated systems. Indicator number six is security awareness. Information technology provides many legitimate tools for improving security and privacy. Even so, there are behaviors or activities that may indicate someone is attempting to conceal their violent extremist activities. Using different platforms for different types of content, often with increasing sophistication in separating public and private activities. A new enthusiasm for obscuring their identity. Systematic efforts to remove or alter old social media posts and profiles, which might indicate a preparation for action or fear of detection. Suddenly adopting advanced privacy tools and encryption, and often accompanied by encouraging others to do the same. Network purging or removing connections who might report concerning behavior, often accompanied by creating new, more selective networks. Indicator number seven is unusual changes in behavior that may indicate they plan to conduct an attack. Just as there are in the physical world, there are significant behavioral changes that might be visible online. Things like dramatic changes in the frequency or content of posts, which might indicate shifting priorities or preparation for action. Sudden disconnection from long-term online friends or communities, often accompanied by new connections to more extreme groups. Unusual activities that might indicate preparation for significant actions or change, such as farewell messages or even giving away digital assets. And marked shifts in the emotional content of posts or communication, particularly toward fatalistic or apocalyptic themes. As mentioned earlier, many of the items on that list are also perfectly reasonable steps for any internet user to take. But in combination, and in the service of an extreme ideology, they indicate a person is on a path to harm others and or themselves. And whilst it is possible to assist a person off the radicalisation path, it is strongly recommended that these individuals are reported to law enforcement. This podcast was produced by the Online Safety Exchange with support from the New Zealand Preventing and Countering Violent Extremism Fund. For more podcasts and for further information on the Online Safety Exchange and the OSX Network for Online Safety Practitioners, visit our website at onlinesafetyexchange.org.